today on Real Radio.
When you come to a scripture, when we're studying in the book of Acts or Wednesday in the book of Hebrews, when you say, oh God, example in the book of Hebrews Wednesday night, I don't want to fall away from you, Lord. I want to walk with you. I'm afraid of myself. I just want to stay near you. You're praying the book of Hebrews. You think God is going to answer? God is going to answer that prayer.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Glorifies God, Part 2, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. In What Glorifies God, Part 1, from Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 25, we discovered that we were put on this earth to glorify God, and a way to give God the glory is to turn our lives around by confessing our sins, so God can forgive us, heal us, and bless our lives. And now in Part 2, we'll see that just like in the Garden of Eden and in the days of Herod the king, we are living in an age of self-promotion and self-entitlement. Through repentance, confessing that Jesus is Lord, praying in Jesus' name, and sexual purity, it will lead us to a fruitful Christian life. And now continuing in his lesson called What Glorifies God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When we pray in Jesus' name, we glorify God. In John 15, verses 7 through 8, John 15, 7 through 8 says, if you abide in me, that's a condition, by the way. In other words, we would say, if you walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, and my words abide in you, hey, you want to pray effectively? Know your Bible. Seriously. I'll give you an example in a second. You will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. John 15, 7 and 8. So what's the example? How can I know if God's going to answer my prayer for sure? Simply this. You open up your Bible, you read your Bible, then you pray according to your Bible. God will answer. It's fantastic. Example, Lord, we pray this prayer several times a day in our house, every day. Father, we ask you to bless Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, with whatever you want to do. Lord, may your favor, may your grace, may your word, may your love, may your spirit just do the church whatever way you want. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. It's about that long also. Why? How can it be that long? How can it be that short? What's the deal? What's your confidence? Because what I just prayed is exactly in accordance with the will of God. God wants to bless you. God wants this church to be a church that brings glory to him. That's guaranteed in his word. You see, we need to get out of our little weird thinking and see, we'll begin to entertain the thought, well, what does that really mean? And here's where you have to trust God. When you ask God to have himself glorified in your life, you pray that prayer, you let go. You know what that means? That means God might take this church and make it huge and make it be able to minister to the whole world. Or God may want to be glorified by shrinking this church down to 10 people. Are you willing to pray that prayer? When you ask God, Lord, I want you to bless my family. I want you to use this family to your glory. That's a great prayer. We pray that prayer, but you know what it means. Well, number one, we know that God will answer the prayer and glorify himself in Jesus' name. But what will he do to bring glory to himself? Could it be that I get cancer and God heals me of cancer? Or that I just die of cancer, giving him the glory? Could it be that our family is under severe physical attack or spiritual attack, that God gets the glory, like Job? Could it be that God blesses in some other way? Of course. When you pray, you just trust him. You give glory to him when you do that. And if you know his nature, he's only going to do what is absolute good for you. Romans 8, 28. What an awesome God we have. I have to walk around being afraid to ask him to do whatever he wants to do. Thoughts that he has towards us are for a hope and for a future. praying in Jesus' name is coming before the Father, knowing who Jesus is and what he desires. Jesus is the object of our prayer because we want him ultimately exalted. Jesus said in Matthew 6:9, in this manner, therefore, pray. That means use this pattern. Doesn't mean you have to recite this exact prayer. He says, this is the pattern you ought to use when you pray. Our Father who's in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I heard this week one of the televangelists saying, I'm not going to pray that prayer. I'm going to pray my will be done because I'm a little God. And I thought my radio was going to melt on my dashboard. I thought lightning bolts were going to come out of my dash. That's heresy. That's just like Herod, isn't it? The voice of a God and not a man. Oh, yes, yes, more, please. Herod's standing there, and an angel standing right next door, or not next door, standing right next to him, just leans over and smites him. And he dies of worms. The voice of a God and not a man. Yes. Boom. He's down. Because it says he did not give God glory. We can give glory to God by praying in Jesus' name. How come my prayers aren't answered? James 4:3. When you ask and you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motive, that you may receive it or spend it upon your own pleasures. Oh God, give me this. Oh God, if I only had that. And often we're praying from a heart that is very, very wayward. We're not content with what God has given us. 1 Timothy 6:6 tells us godliness with contentment is great gain. But we try to consume things for our own selves. If I only had that Suburban. Have you ever heard this story? It's a very old story, but I love it. The little boy who's asking his mom and dad for a bicycle. I want a bicycle, Dad. I want a bicycle, Mom. And they said, look, we can't afford a bicycle. He kept asking, I want a bicycle. I want a bicycle. They said, we can't afford it. He kept knocking on that door. I want a bike. And his dad says, look, the only way you're going to get a bike is if you pray and ask God for a bike. So the little kid prays. And he's praying for about a week. Little guy, you know, a week to a kid's like forever. And him and his mom get in the car and they're going down to the grocery store. And he's just, all he can think about is that bike. I want a bike. So his mom says, honey, you wait right here. I'm going to go in the store. I'll be right out in a moment. And there's a statue of the Virgin Mary on the dashboard. So he's sitting there looking at the Virgin Mary, and he's thinking, man, I want a bike. So he gets an idea. And he reaches up to that dashboard, and he grabs that statue, and he breaks it off. And he puts it in his lunch bag. And he says, now, Jesus, you listen here. If you ever want to see your mother again, you'll get me that bike. That's the wrong motive. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one has access to the Father but through me. Jesus says in John 15:16, whatever you ask the Father in my name, you will receive it. Listen, 1 John 5:14, I know I'm rattling these off, but you're smart. 1 John 5:14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And that's the key. Pray Bible. He'll hear it and he'll answer. When you come to a scripture, when we're studying in the book of Acts or Wednesday in the book of Hebrews, when you say, oh God, example in the book of Hebrews Wednesday night, I don't want to fall away from you, Lord. I want to walk with you. I'm afraid of myself. I just want to stay near you. You're praying the book of Hebrews. You think God is going to answer? God is going to answer that prayer. He'll keep you near him. Oh God, I just want to be used to the maximum for your glory. God will hear that prayer and he'll do it. The fourth thing that brings glory to God, what glorifies God? And I want you to hang on to your seats because there's enough in here to offend everybody. What glorifies God is sexual purity. It's throughout all of the Bible. sexual purity. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside of his body, but he that commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. 1 Corinthians 6, 20. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which God owns. Listen up. We glorify God when we practice sexual purity. Look at this, our bodies. These are God's bodies now. God owns your body. Just because you're going to heaven doesn't mean you're supposed to let yourself fall apart. God wants to use you. How's he going to use you if we're destroying ourselves? The Bible says that the Lord gives his beloved sleep. Why? Because you're going to need it to do his work in the morning. God wants to use your body. And when we practice sexual immorality, we are destroying the very tool that God wants to use. By the way, in 1 Corinthians 6, the word sexual immorality literally means fornication, adultery, or sexual lewdness falls under that category. Listen, real quick, adultery is having sex with somebody who's married. Fornication is having sex outside of marriage. And lewdness, sexual immorality, has an umbrella which falls underneath it all kinds of wickedness. And we're living in a day and age that's absolutely rampant. It's gone nuts. Sex sells, man. Listen, sexual purity gives glory to God. First of all, abstinence until marriage is biblical. It's not the new morality that's running around out there. It's not the message from the conservative right. It has nothing to do with those guys. It's from the Bible. You're not supposed to have sex with somebody until you get married. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he's saying that. This is like 20th century, you know. Yeah, and look what's going on. People are dying. Abstinence until marriage. Sexual immorality robs God of his glory because it destroys you. And we so myopic as a society, all we could do is think about this one little thing when God says, hey, look around. I've got a life for you to live. What glorifies God? Sexual purity. Listen, jot this down. Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. That's a radical temper. Selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, and I tell you again, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. That's Bible. You think God grades on a curve? Well, we didn't go all the way. We just kind of do this stuff. Sexual immorality. And you're scarring your heart. And you're undermining any future that you're going to have with a spouse. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor those who covet, nor drunks, nor slanderers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And is this not politically correct? You get thrown in jail for saying stuff like this. I just read to you the Bible. By the way, the things listed in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10 are all items of choice, by the way. Go study that. Now, in all fairness, let me say this to the married couple today. How do we practice sexual purity if we're married? First of all, stay married. Stay faithful. We need to realize that I don't own my body. My wife doesn't own her body. It's dedicated unto the Lord. And Satan looks and he tries your doorknob and he's looking and he's listening for a little place to enter in. And the society that we live in, first of all, says that either sex is absolutely filthy or go ahead, everybody's doing it. Do it everywhere. Do it. Hey, anybody. It doesn't matter. Isn't it funny? The pendulum either swings to one side or the other. And our God is the God who created it in the context of marriage. And outside of marriage, it's wrong. It is sin. It has to be forgiven of. The Bible declares, Galatians 5, if we continue in it without repentance, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Plain and simple, black and white. Let me say this too, pornography. A lot of people get into pornography. Pornography falls under the definition of sexual immorality and also idolatry. It's worship. Young man, old man, the Bible declares, Jesus said, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman and lusts in his heart for her has committed adultery already. Pornography is of the devil. It is wrong. It is destructive. And anybody who's been involved in it knows that it starts a fire in your chest that cannot be put out. It's like a drug. And it should be stayed away from at all costs. It's sexual immorality and it destroys your body. Job says in Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully upon a young woman. Boy, wouldn't that be a great banner to hang over the city of Chino Hills today? Wouldn't the women, don't you think women would love that? I would think if I was a woman, I'd want that banner hanging over my city. Men, don't look at women with lust in your eyes. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, cast down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Don't we need to do that? You can't drive down the freeway without exercising that verse with the billboards that are up and the filth. I want to touch on a few things, and then we'll be going real quickly. Sexual sin destroys our body's usefulness. 2 Timothy 2:20 says that in a house there are vessels, some for honor and some for dishonor. And in 2 Timothy 2:21, it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, the dishonorable things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master's use for every good work. Sexual sin destroys the soul or the mind and our stability. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, the scripture says, even though they did not like to retain God in their thoughts, God gave them over to a perverted or reprobate mind to do those things which are not natural, being filled with all unrighteousness, that is sexual immorality. Isn't that heavy? Third thing, sexual sin destroys spiritual stewardship. God owns your body, Christian. Who am I? I do not have control over myself to say tomorrow, I'm just going to lay out in the sun all day and I don't care if the phone rings and people are dying and there's an accident and I'm beeped. I'm just going to soak up the rays. How dare I say such a thing? How dare you be driving down the street as a Christian and God says, stop and minister to that family? How dare you say no? You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. God owns us. I can't do with my body as I please. The Bible tells us that when we yield our bodies, Paul said, when we yield our body over to a prostitute, we are loaning our body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says, don't you realize that Christ dwells within you? That if you join yourself to a harlot, you're joining Christ? Now, that's a pretty sick thought. And yet it's in the Bible because sexual immorality is spiritual. Yeah, 25% of it might be physical, but I think 75% of it has spiritual ramifications. C. Everett Koop tells us, retired Surgeon General of the United States, that for every person you have a relationship with physically, their body chemistry stays within you up to 7 years for each person. No wonder why people are dying. We can give glory to God by practicing a relationship with our spouse or with those around us that glorify him. Final thing, last thing, This is number 5, by the way. Have I given all the numbers? Did I? Yes and no? One side of the church says yes, other side. This is number 5. What glorifies God? Number 5 is a fruitful life. A fruitful life glorifies God. In John 15, verse 8, Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." Isn't that neat? God wants you to grow. He wants you to produce fruit. That is very exciting to me. If you want to bless God, you don't have to sit around worrying about, is God ever going to use you? He wants to use you. He wants to work through you. So he's on your side. It is good work that God wants to do. That is what produces fruit, and it's by the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God wants to do it. And Jesus said a radical statement that kind of freaks us out. He says in John 14:12, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works shall he do." Greater works than Jesus? I believe he's referring to evangelism. Greater works, because he went on to say in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and have ordained you that you should go," I believe that's evangelism, "and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain." I think that's discipleship. He wants us to produce fruit, and he'll do it through us. Lord, we ask you to search our hearts, and Lord, we know, first of all, that you are absolutely on our side, and we want to do things for you, but we sometimes are wrapped in fear. But Lord, teach us to trust you and to love you and to know, Father, that we need to step out and try, for that gives you delight. Lord, may we cause our walks to be much more simple than what we have made them. That the burden would be released from our shoulders that have been self-imposed, and Lord, you would do your work through us, as fruit is produced upon a tree in an effortless fashion. Lord, bless this body. Strengthen this church. Make it, Lord, just an apple of your eye. And those, Father, who have been perhaps outside of Jesus, maybe they're guilty of sexual immorality. Maybe they've had sex and waywardness, and they're not a Christian, and they've been convicted this morning. Then, Lord, draw them to the prayer room that they might receive the cleansing that comes from you. Lord, bless this church in every way, in Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called What Glorifies God, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that whatever you do it all for the glory of God. What Glorifies God, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, keeping our eyes off of ourselves and on what would please the Lord and bring Him glory takes a special kind of determination and focus. That's why starting the day with devotions is a great way towards a meaningful and lasting relationship with Christ. But with tight schedules and hectic lifestyles, we don't always want to waste precious time searching for inspiring devotional material. So, Pastor Jack has written and provided them for us. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one every week, along with quick and easy access to previous devotions, with titles such as The Eternal Love of the Lord, Our Awesome God, and Blessings in Abundance. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you type in your email address. Again, it's available on our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also have access to Pastor Jack's devotions when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.